It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. As children grow, each new stage brings with it new challenges. When the child stops being a child, that can also bring with it new challenges for each generation. This hour, we're going to explore that transition from the perspective of parents and offspring, and we'll talk about relationships between adult children and their parents. We'd love to hear about your experiences. You can join us at 866-780-9100. You can email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And my first guests today have made that transition. Kate Nesbitt is 27 years old. She lives in Iowa City, where she's going to graduate school. And her mom, Elaine Nesbitt, is in St. Olaf, Minnesota. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you both so much for being here today. And Kate, I'll let you start. How would you describe your relationship with your mom?
Well, we always often will come back to a magnet that I gave my mom for Christmas, I think, a couple of years ago that says, even if you weren't my mom, I'd still try really hard to be your best friend. So it's like a friend, a close friend plus, I would say.
How about you, Elaine? How would you describe it?
I agree that we are very close and that our relationship has actually a lot of different dynamics and levels to it. But we have a lot of the same interests. We love to talk. We spend a lot of time communicating and analyzing and finding each other's perspectives. So I find my relationship at this point to be just very stimulating and very rewarding.
I want to go back in time a little bit. Elaine, think back for me. Was there a time when things were more strained, when things were a little rocky?
Yes, definitely. We've always been close, and our relationship has always been pretty intense. And I think we're both really emotional people, and we're both very passionate. And so, yes, we had plenty of rocky times, and we had plenty of emotional discussions. And yeah, it wasn't always easy, but it was one thing that we have in common is we really do like to understand and to resolve things. So we had a lot of late night talks.
Was there a time that was particularly difficult?
Well, I can take this one.
Okay.
especially when I was a teenager, when I was in high school, I think that not only was I going through a lot of life changes, but I think that also we were always close. And I think at that stage of my life, I saw our closeness as a kind of threat to my independence or to my identity. And so I think that maybe I pushed back or pushed away in ways that were really hurtful for both of us, actually. And now as I've gotten older and I feel more secure with myself, I think that closeness is more of an asset or like a blessing than as something that I need to distance myself from.
So Elaine, I heard you agreeing there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that it's always hard for a parent, or often hard for a parent, when the child goes through that stage where they're trying to gain independence, and it's a little bit of a loss when a kid is little. They just trust you completely. They think you're just the greatest. They believe everything that you say. They want to be just like you. And then seemingly overnight, it sort of flips on itself. And all those things, all that pushback is really strong.
Right. What do you think helped you guys come back together after that, Kate?
I would say that as I became financially independent, as I moved away, as I became closer to my now husband, I started living a life like an adult. And as so, like, there was a while, right, like my mom was saying, you know, when you're a child, you trust your mom completely. You think that she's the most amazing thing ever. And then you, like, really push back. And you maybe think that she is the worst thing ever, who's trying to like stop you from growing up. And then eventually, as I became more of an adult, I started experiencing difficulties that I know that she'd experienced. I started
really respecting and admiring the decisions that she, some of the decisions that she had made. And I started seeking her advice more, more intentionally. And I think it became, and I think she also started seeing me as an adult too, and I felt really respected by her. And so the combination of those two things, I think, made the relationship feel more like a relationship between two people who are sort of trying to work out life's difficulties together. And I think that brought us really close, and in a different way than we were when I was seven, and then in a different way than we were when I was 17.
Now, Elaine, I know that you're a psychologist, so you may have a little more insight into these developmental stages than some parents do. When Kate was going through that period where she was pushing you away and then continuing to grow up and going to college and all of that, how did you change how you interacted with her?
Well, that has really been a process, and I actually think it's a tricky process, this whole letting go thing, and I've tried to do it gradually, but you, as a parent, you kind of reach these moments where you realize, hey, this isn't my deal anymore, and that has happened in various areas in my relationship with Kate, where I realized I need to respect her as an adult, and this is her decision. I'm no longer responsible for this area. Okay, now I'm no longer responsible for that area. You know, it starts out when you increase their curfew or whatever like that, but then it becomes, you know, more personal things and bigger things, and just kind of making, at various moments, just making an intentional effort to say, I respect you as an adult, and I might still say, can I give you some advice on this? Or I might even just say my opinion on things, but underlying it is an acknowledgement that we no longer have the same kind of relationship, and that that I need to respect her decisions, and that I want to respect her decisions and respect her as an adult.
Now, whether the advice is welcome or not, a lot of parents have a hard time letting go of that part of their relationship because, of course, they don't want to see their child unhappy, no matter how old that child is. Did you have a point, Elaine, where you had to make a conscious effort and say, I cannot parent in this situation. I need to listen.
I've had lots of times where I thought I need to listen, and I can't say that I have it all figured out with when to say something and when not to. I still struggle with that, and I just have to really try to discern, is this one of these situations where I need to just sit back and really trust, or is this a good time to say, can I say something about this?
And Kate, you're still in this period of young adulthood. You're still in your 20s, although mm-hmm. you did get married in the past year, and
yeah.
you're in graduate school. You know, you're hitting a lot of those benchmarks along
right.
the pathway to adulthood. Do you feel like there was sort of a moment in your mind when the relationship shifted and began to be much more of a relationship of equals?
Yes, I couldn't say a precise moment, and I would definitely not say it was marriage, because I have been with my partner for a very long time, and I feel like that has been a very gradual, I've become sort of more and more a partner with him over many years, but I would say that moving to Iowa City, I moved to Iowa from Northfield, where I'm from, and then becoming financially independent, those were more milestones where I felt like I really was becoming an adult. And I think the idea of our relationship becoming more like equals had more to do with me and my identity and figuring out who I was and feeling comfortable with myself as an adult. And that really did happen when I really moved away and started working. And
if I could add, I think as you got more confident, you realize that, yeah, you could receive my opinion, my advice, my input, but you didn't necessarily have to do it. And that when
right.
you didn't, it didn't compromise the relationship, that
yeah.
There was that underlying love and respect.
Yeah, I agree. We needed to disagree and survive. And that really,
exactly.
that helped. Yes.
So there are a lot of people who struggle a lot more with this transition than the two of you have. Elaine, do you have any advice for parents who may be struggling with trying to chart a new course in this new stage of life?
Well, first of all, I think knowing that it's tough and that it's tough for almost everybody and getting support from other parents, that's been really, really helpful. I have friends who are all have different takes on how to do this. I have one friend who says, zip your lip. And I have another friend who says, I'm the only mom you'll ever have. So if I don't tell you, no one's going to. So everybody has their own way of doing it, but getting support from others is really important. I also think truly listening to your adult child or your child in transition and truly just making a conscious decision to respect them and to really try to understand them and not just to have in the back of your mind, oh, what do I want to impart to them? What do I need to tell them? But to truly try to hear it from their perspective and try to grow with them. And that parenting is different at every stage. That's why it's challenging. It's like you're always learning how to parent. And I feel like I'm learning how to parent a 27-year-old. And that's different than parenting, you know, a 17-year-old.
How about you, Kate? Do you have any advice either for people at your stage of life or their parents?
Yes. I would say for people at my stage of life, one thing that has been really helpful for me is learning to articulate your differences and similarities with the differences and similarities you have with your parents or your mom in my case. So, you know, being able to say, this is a value that we share. This is something that we feel differently about, has helped me sort of learn the complexities of our relationship and be able to be more sympathetic when we disagree and say, oh, we're disagreeing because of this difference in value or because of this difference in disposition, instead of just saying, oh, that's my mom.
Well, Kate and Elaine, thank you both so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having us.
Kate Nesbitt is a graduate student in Iowa City. She is 27 years old. I was talking with her and her mother, Elaine Nesbitt, from St. Olaf, Minnesota. We will continue our conversation about the relationships between adult children and their parents in just a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about the relationships between parents and adult children, and we want to hear about your experiences, whether you are the child or the adult or maybe or the parent, or maybe you're both a child and a parent. Many of us are. We'd love to hear from you. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And joining us now is Megan Gilligan. She's an assistant professor in human development and family studies at Iowa State University, and she studies these kind of relationships. Hello, Megan.
Hi, Charity. I'd also like to mention I'm an adult child and a mother, so I'm smiling thinking about all of these things today.
Absolutely. I think we're all in at least one of these positions. So, Megan, as children make this transition to adulthood, I mean, that is one of those areas that we've focused a lot of study on, a lot of research on, as teens become adults. At this point in time, we do kind of see that transition happening a little later than maybe it has historically, right?
Yeah, so that's something really interesting, and I thought Elaine did a really nice job of articulating this. You know, I'm learning how to parent a 27-year-old. Our parents parent us well into adulthood through middle age and into later life. And so we do know that the types of parenting, the investment, the intensity of parenting, we've seen that has kind of increased over the last period of time. And you can think of different changes. So a couple of things highlighted in your interview, as adult children decide to stay in school longer, they may need additional resources, additional support. Also, things like economic downturn may result in you know, delaying these transitions that we're talking about, such as getting married, buying a home, maybe staying in school longer, looking for a job. So we kind of can talk about, in terms of these developmental stages, that we've kind of prolonged this transition into what we would call adulthood, and certainly has implications for how parents parent older adult children.
As opportunities have changed and young people have many more pathways that they can take, that kind of muddies the waters a little bit as well. I mean, if you think about historically, when people were getting married at the ages of 18 or 20, and that really was supposed to mark their transition into adulthood, marriage is being something that people do much later, and it doesn't necessarily mark that transition anymore, right?
Yeah. So, and we talk a lot about this in the family literature. Is, you know, when expectations are really clear, that's kind of better for us. It's easier for us to psychologically, and it's easier for our family members psychologically to know, okay, these are the expectations. But right now, as you've just articulated, expectations are not as clear. So, you know, we can certainly ask the question, what does it really mean to be an adult, and what it meant. So I'm in my 30s. What it meant for me to be an adult versus what does it mean for my parents who are in their mid-60s to be an adult. I always share the example of how these expectations have changed. My parents got married when they were 18 years old. I got married when I was in my late 20s, and my dad expressed he thought I was too young to get married. He really wanted to make sure I finished school first. And so you can see these cohort differences and when these things should happen, when our expectations of when these events should happen, and should they happen, and what should they look like.
Now, at the same time that lives for younger people are changing, lives for older people are also changing. What kinds of shifts do we see in the lives of these parents who have adult children?
Yeah, so something I was thinking about when I was listening to Elaine and Kate talk is they were talking about the duration of this relationship, you know, the mother-daughter relationship or the father-son or the parent-child relationship. And first of all, we're just experiencing that relationship for a longer period of time with increased longevity. So we can reasonably expect that we may be in our 60s or 70s and have a living adult parent. So we might be experiencing our parents transitioning to retirement and need for later life care. The other thing to think about, we often think about adult children getting married. We also might think about them transitioning out of marriage or divorce or the choice to remain single or cohabitate, all of these transitions. Well, parents also might be making those transitions themselves. So parents may be getting divorced in later life, or they may become widowed. So it's kind of, we talk about this idea of linked lives, that parents and adult children are both making transitions, and these transitions have implications for their relationships with each other as well as each other's psychological well-being.
Well, and you mentioned divorce. Divorce among older Americans is getting to be more and more common.
Yeah, so there was some recent work that came out in the last few years from Bowling Green University, where Ifin Lin and Susan Brown documented what they refer to as the gray divorce. And we can see this kind of spike in individuals over the age of 60 are getting divorced in larger numbers than we've seen before. Certainly, again, another kind of cohort shift that we might be noticing. So often when we talk about parent-child relationships and we think of divorce, we think of small children and the impacts it can have, which it certainly can. But now we might have adult children who are kind of navigating the divorce of their parents,
which can be a major influence on their lives and obviously on these relationships that we're talking about.
Yeah. So just as parents might have to navigate for their children, children may be navigating this for their parents, and then we can think about implications of remarriage or repartnering. And Elaine and Kate were talking about the complexity of parent-child relationships, and parent-child relationships are certainly complex, and as we add in these demographic shifts, these demographic changes, they're likely to just become more complex in years to come.
I'm talking with Megan Gilligan. She's an assistant professor in human development and family studies at Iowa State University, and she studied relationships between parents and their adult children. We want to hear from you as well with your experiences, some of the challenges you've faced, maybe overcome, maybe haven't been able to overcome. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And I want to bring Folker Thomas into the conversation. He is a licensed marriage and family therapist at the Counseling Center of Iowa City. He also is a retired professor from the University of Iowa. Folker, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And so much of what I was talking about with Megan, of course, you see in practice, people coming to you and asking for help with these relationships. From your perspective, where do you feel the most tension comes from in this transition as parents try to figure out how to have a relationship with their adult children and vice versa?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question. And before I answer it, let me contextualize myself, too. I'm no longer a son because both of my parents are deceased. I'm a father of adult children, and I'm a grandfather of young and adolescent children. So my perspective is slightly different. That's the first context. The second context is, as a family therapist, I probably would not see Kate and Elaine, because they seem to be pretty good job in mastering the transition. They're navigating
well,
through.
Right.
They still have plenty of challenges to come. But so far, yeah, I really liked it when Kate said, well, you know, I realized that I'm becoming independent when I was economically dependent. You know, that's kind of the first kind of accomplishment, you know, when young adults, you know, feel that they are accomplishing something, that they can take care economically of themselves. However, the emotional part, that is much more difficult to work through. And that is what we see so often. And those are the families I see who don't make those transitions because, you know, they cannot listen. And I think, you know, they're both referred to listening, which in a way, at least in my clinical language, means be validated. Be validated in who they are, be validated in how they see the world, and be validated how they perceive to be seen in the world. First of all, by their parents. They need to be validated by their parents. And then they need to be validated for doing a good enough job in what they're accomplishing. You know, when Dad said, oh, well, you're 28. You're way too young. Get done with school first. When they get married at 18, right? When the parents have gotten right. married at 18. And that is what happens so often from the parents' perspective, that they develop expectations of their children not to make the mistakes that they have made or to make it better what they have done. And, of course, that creates expectations that can lead very easily to tensions when the adult children choose a different path.
Well, and Megan and I were talking about these markers of that transition to adulthood, and becoming economically independent is definitely one of those markers. I mean, I can think about when that happened for me and mm-hmm. how that felt, but from a parent's perspective, that may not be the marker that they're waiting for. So I imagine a lot of tension, and Megan, you can weigh in on this as well, a lot of tension arises when the adult child feels like an adult, but the parent doesn't feel like their adult child is an adult.
Yeah, definitely. And I thought this idea of, you know, what are parents' expectations? What are the adult child's expectations for themselves? And I completely agree with Volker. I mean, some of Elaine and Kate's language is so perfect for us to talk about this. So Kate was talking about, you know, my mom and I might have different values, but we're able to talk about, this is what I value, this is what you value. And this value similarity is really important, and they seem to share this. And so, mm-hmm. you know, being able to have these conversations, this is what I want for myself, this is really important to me. Do we share that? And if we don't, can we talk about it? And I think that's really important to try to reduce tension or address tension in these types of relationships.
Yeah. And what we're assuming, and I assume that about Kate and her mother as well, is that this is kind of a middle-class family with the parents not being divorced, and then the children grow up and become independent, kind of the nuclear family model that we have. in reality, that's a minority of families that are around. So, and it's complex enough for them actually to make these transitions, for adult children to become adults, accepted, successful adults. It becomes much, much more complicated in the most common family forms. You know, when there are, there's a parent, step parent, and I have a partner, and then there is children, and we have my children, your children, and your children, you know, where the complexity of relationships that have to be navigated in order to really feel accepted and feel secure about who I am as a young adult and who I am as a parent. Have I succeeded as a parent? And I say that as a parent. I look at my adult children. In their success, I see whether I did a good job as a parent or not.
Well, and Megan, you were talking about sharing values and respecting the other's values. That is another place where a lot of tension can arise because, of course, as we're raising our children, one of the main jobs we are trying to do is impart our values to our children. But then as children become teenagers and become adults, they have many other experiences and their worldview may shift. They may not share our values. So for a parent of an adult who doesn't share their values, I mean, that may feel like failure, right, Volker?
It could. Unless I can accept as a parent that it's okay for my child to have different values than I do. If I can accept that, then I can validate my adult child. If I feel like my child is betraying me morally because, you know, he or she has different values, of course, then I can't validate the child. And that is the tension then that usually is very difficult to talk about.
And the flip side of that as well, when the adult child has very strong values that they don't feel their parent is living up to.
That's right. So, and then there's estrangement quite often that happens, and or they come to see me.
Hopefully, or many other counselors everywhere. Let's go to the phones here. A lot of people want to join in on this conversation about these relationships that, of course, we all are part of on one side or the other. Susan is on the line in Sioux City. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
What would you like to talk about?
Thanks for taking my call. I have an adult daughter with whom I think we very basically share most of our values, that we don't have conflicts that way. We've always gotten along and been very close, and I have great respect for her as a young adult. But my issue at this point is that she is seriously struggling in ways that I haven't seen her struggle before. I think with depression, with lack of certainty about the career path she has chosen. She does not have a partner by choice, which is fine. She has some friends, but I see her not able to reach out for help, and I'm really concerned about her. I live 5 hours away from her, and so my sort of tightrope I'm walking is how to help her deal with her issues, how to perhaps suggest that she get therapy, et cetera, without overstepping my bounds.
Oh, thank you so much for your call. And again, Susan, I'm sure you're not alone in dealing with this kind of challenge. And Volker, I'll let you respond to that first. But, you know, there obviously here's a point where she wants to help her daughter, where the parent of the adult child wants to be a parent, needs to be a parent, maybe.
Yeah. And Susan, I think you're describing a very common issue, and that is to walk the line between accepting your daughter's independence and making her own decisions and what you feel like she needs help with. What I would encourage you, if you can have an open conversation about that, you know, where you can first validate, you know, her independence and then see whether she can imagine that you could help her. We've seen that so often that then parents either don't take it seriously enough what's going on with the struggles of their adult children, or that they invade the territory and then, of course, get blocked by the adult child. And I think that to find that line, to find that opening, I think that's something very important. One thing that I tell families who come in with adolescents so often is, you know, you got to get a feeling for when the window to the house of your adolescent child is open. When it's open, talk. When it's closed, don't. And for adult children in crises, that applies as well. You know, to figure out when the window is open, meaning when she wants to talk and wants to listen, and then to take that opportunity, and when she's not willing and or able to, well, I think then you are dealing kind of with the reactions that you have, and then you need somebody to talk to, right? What am I supposed to do? So, you know, I see kind of the pain you're in. I could hear it in your voice, you know, the way you talked about the dilemma you have.
That's what I was going to add to this as well, is that it's really not uncommon for parents of adult children to be impacted by the problems their adult children are having. And so thinking about that's normative, and that you might need to seek, you know, something for yourself to kind of deal with that it's normal to want to reach out to those children. And we talked about that these problems often feel like a reflection on yourself, of your parenting. So kind of thinking of yourself in that situation, too.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about the relationships between parents and adult children. With me, Megan Gilligan, assistant professor in human development and family studies at Iowa State University, and Folker Thomas, marriage and family therapist in Iowa City. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about the relationships between parents and adult children, a difficult transition for some people to make. And of course, as we're learning this hour, it's a relationship that is always changing and in transition. We're going to find out the story of a man who has two adult sons in just a moment, but I do want to get back to the phones. My guests are Megan Gilligan. She's an assistant professor in human development and family studies at Iowa State University. Folker Thomas is a licensed marriage and family therapist at the Counseling Center of Iowa City. And Nick is on the line in Ames. Hi, Nick.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks. And you're threading this transition right now yourself.
Yes, indeed. Actually, in a true classic millennial form, I'm actually in a transition phase. I worked at a previous job for a year and a half, and now I'm stepping into a new career path. So I guess I fall underneath the adult child that has moved on, and I'm living on my own, and I was after I graduated from Iowa State University. But I kind of wanted to change my question a bit. I was going to talk about love for parents, but I think a big curiosity that I have as well is information and how that's taken in, particularly when I look at my parents and how they use social media. I guess I'm kind of curious about the influence of values, and maybe if your guest can speak a little bit to that effect of there is so much information that's allowed to be out there, and how that creates kind of a big, I wouldn't say hedge within a younger generation such as myself, but with there's so much at our fingertips, and for the most part growing up with it, and how that affected my values, I know, is my ability to just consume a vast amount of information. And then when you look at the older generations, or my parents, who are both 50, 52 and 55, in their mid-50s roughly, and how they consume social media, how has that maybe affected the conversation that you've seen?
Well, who wants to tackle that one? Megan?
Well, I have a couple of thoughts about this. Is, you know, I think older adults are using this technology maybe a little more than we kind of think they are, but I definitely think there could be something here in terms of how much information you're consuming and which types of information. And I'm thinking of, you know, recently there's a lot of political tension that I'm sure is affecting families and who's consuming what type of information, and then that leads to conversations that are happening over family gatherings. So I definitely think, you know, Nick, you're kind of onto something, that what type of information we're consuming, how much of it we're consuming, and if we're consuming different types, I think that can have huge implications on our family interactions.
And let me add something to that. And that is, in a way, I'm from an older generation. Actually, I'm not using Facebook, believe it or not. I'm a holdout. However, something I've learned is that social media, in a way, have become a metaphor of a different world, of my world. And for the longest time, I was resistant to enter that world. For me, it has changed with my adult children teaching me that the value of that world, because it just scared me. And I'm very concerned about it, because people seem to be able to make up their own realities in that world. However, I'm learning more and more about the value of that world as well. And I think that is a great opportunity for adult children to teach their open-hearted and open-minded older parents about this different reality of social media. And so that there's an opportunity in there and not just kind of a divisiveness of you are in this world and I am in that world.
Right. Although open-hearted, open-minded, that's a very key phrase there, because if somebody doesn't want to learn about it and doesn't want to listen
to your thoughts.
Yeah. Although Nick talks about his parents being older and being in their 50s, as a woman in her mid-40s, that doesn't sound that old to me. But that's always in flux as well. I want to read this email from Stephanie in Cedar Rapids, and then we're going to get to Dave on the line from Marshalltown. Stephanie says, I don't want to bore you with details, but suffice it to say that as children, my brother, sister, and I lived in fear of our father and adored our mother. My parents are still together, and the relationship is healthy and solid. And now that we kids have all moved out, we've reconciled with or forgiven my father for his many mistakes. While I will never have a typical relationship with my dad, I'd just like to let people know that even if things are terrible, there's hope for a better future. For many, the best and only option is to cut ties completely, but in some cases, the wounds can be healed, and something like a loving relationship can be salvaged from what seems to be an insurmountable set of difficulties. So that's interesting that Stephanie brings that up. I mean, we have to realize that there are many difficult relationships, and of course, things change, and life can be quite long. There can be multiple transitions. And Megan, I know you've done a lot of research on family estrangement. And does that resonate with you listening to Stephanie and thinking about these so many different phases of life?
Yeah, I think, the duration of these family ties, and for most individuals, these are the longest ties of our lives. I have done work on estrangement, and I do know that estrangement is maybe more common than we think and maybe a way to deal with ties that are just not healthy or, not able to be maintained. But I also know her email makes me think about there's a growing body of research of older adult children who care for parents later in life when those parents were abusive in childhood. So it's, that when even really, really egregious, horrible things happen in these parent-child ties, it's not necessarily that they're always cut and that they are maintained and that they manifest themselves in later life. And so I think that is, and that they're not a linear process, that they're not always the same, and that there are these changes. And in this case, if you're thinking about child abuse early in life, but these parents experience health declines, and there are parent or adult children who are providing care for these parents.
Well, and as people go on, you were talking about the importance of parents validating their children's successes or just their lives and the decisions that they make, Volker. But, I mean, in some cases, I think we always want that, and sometimes we never get that. I think about my mother and her mother. She never got that from her mother. She never stopped wanting it from her mother. So that's something that we have to accept.
Yes. However, it's never too late. It is always possible, even in later life. There are cases where it's not. Some parents severely abuse their children and traumatize them. To expect of them that they reconcile with their parents, even when they get older, is, of course, much more difficult than the grievances that all children have about their parents. However, I have worked with a couple of families where actually the parents were in their 80s and the children were in their 60s. And they finally found a way to reconcile. And that was kind of the really the hope in the email. It can be done. It cannot be done in every case. And people have to figure that out. And they will. And estrangement, by the way, in the clinical literature, in our theoretical literature, is very common. It's not talked about very much because it's embarrassing, but it's very common.
I want to bring Dave Perkins into the conversation now. He is of Marshalltown. He has two adult sons, ages 33 and 36, and we've asked him to share some of the changes he's observed in his relationships with them. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. And Earlier in the hour, we were talking about some of the markers of transition into adulthood. And we wanted to talk to you because you have some thoughts on how your relationships with your sons have changed since one of your sons became a dad. So tell me what you've experienced.
Well, exactly. Although if I can backtrack just briefly to touch on a point that was just made, and something that I was thinking about in the way of relationships to your parents, me as a child, as it were, and the discussion of abuse. My father was not abusive to the extreme that many people experience, but there were aspects of my childhood that I didn't appreciate. And I took that information forward when I became a parent and decided I'm not going to expose my children to this. And to the extent that they have turned out favorably, I guess I would view that as some positive feedback or self-actualization as a parent in saying that I was able to transcend that. And by the way, some of the things that motivated him, I came to find out really only after his death, that were probably formative in his childhood years, causing him to be the parent that he was. So I wanted to just throw that out there. Then to get into the subject at hand, yes, it's particularly, well, I would share with your first young guest that having a partner and getting married isn't nearly the transition of having a child, provided you're really an engaged parent. And in watching my oldest son go through that, you know, he's married and then has a daughter, and I'd say that the understanding that he has developed looking at me now is driven more and more by that as he's going through that. My granddaughter is three, she'll be four this October. So it's still an ongoing process for him and his wife. But absolutely, it gives the child another point of view or another perspective from which to view the way in which they were raised.
So he understands you better now, you feel?
I think so. Now, I do have somewhat unique opportunity with him particularly, as opposed to my younger son who's not married, has no children, although very entrepreneurial in spirit. Both of my boys have started their own businesses. For a number of reasons not worth getting into, I decided the last 10, 11 working years of my life to leave the corporate world and become self-employed. I helped my older son financially somewhat launching his business, and then I picked up and essentially ran a parallel business for the last 10, 11 years before I retired. So we had kind of a professional relationship, too. That's somewhat unusual, but it also gives us another level at which to communicate.
Now, with your younger son, you've also observed, although he is not a dad, you've observed that his perspective has changed somewhat and your relationship with him has changed somewhat, you believe, because he's an uncle now.
Absolutely. He is in his latest vocation is an owner-operator, over-the-road truck driver, and he's been gone for the last couple of weeks. When he is in the area, he stays with us, but he makes it a point to be here. In fact, we had this conversation with him earlier just today. He makes it a point to be here when his niece, my granddaughter, is going to be here. He dotes on her, and he certainly has the makings of being an excellent parent. The same things that I saw in my older son before he was a parent in his relationship with younger children in social settings, sports clubs, and things like that. So, yes, I think he is developing along those lines and has all of the potential. He simply hasn't gotten to that phase in his life yet.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for sharing your experiences with us today.
All right. Thank you for asking.
Thanks a lot. Dave Perkins of Marshalltown, two sons, ages 33 and 36. And you don't have to have a child to become an adult. But, I mean, Megan, that is a huge transition in life for a lot of people. And maybe even just having that next generation as part of your family, that can make a change as well.
Yeah. And one of the things I was thinking about as he's describing his one son becoming a father, you know, another son becoming an uncle, and he's maybe becoming a grandfather for the first time, is that when an individual family member is going through one of these transitions, it also subsequently means other family members are going through transitions as well. So we're kind of navigating that as a group, you know, as a family. And it's not just one individual person's life that's changing, but other people are changing. And then that can certainly have an effect. So we can talk about sometimes getting married or having children as kind of a consuming state. You know, it takes up a lot of our time. So, you know, it might affect our relationship with our parents in terms of how much time we're able to spend with them, how much investment. But at the same time, too, then they're taking on this role as a grandparent. So this kind of generational lineage is happening as well.
And as beautiful as it can be, it can also be a time that introduces a lot of tension if your parenting style is very different from your parents.
Yes.
Can I add something to that? You know, I tell families that children are like mirrors in which the parent sees him or herself, but only the parts they don't like about themselves.
Those parts are amplified because they're the things that drive us crazy about ourselves.
That's right. And what happens so often then with adult children, when they see themselves as parents in the mirror of their children, they start getting a much better sense that it's not that easy to parent. So then they develop develop a more appreciation of the struggles of their parents. You know, that even if they weren't perfect, that they did the best they could.
Well, and just when I went through that transition and became a parent, I think I understood for the first time how much my parents love me.
Yes.
Which made me much more forgiving. Mm-hmm. Not that they were bad in any way, but I feel more understanding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're all constantly going through those changes. And I want to ask you, Megan, before we run out of time, we haven't talked about adult siblings. And I feel like that plays into these relationships as well. When there's one adult child who the parents seem to feel has achieved success, and there's another adult child who maybe is not reaching their expectations, that can be a serious point of tension as well. Is that something you've seen in your research?
Yeah, so definitely something. So we talk about this idea of parents have different relationships with their children, and certainly parents can respond to certain children based on these transitions. So maybe I do feel a little more similar to this child because they are also a parent and I'm a parent, whereas this child isn't. So this idea of similarity. And then also I would note the siblings with each other. So, you know, siblings are going through different developmental stages and different life transitions, and that's going to impact their relationships with one another.
Well, and Volker, can you leave us with some words of wisdom? Many of the threads that we've heard this hour from different people with different kinds of relationships, acceptance seems to be the key on both sides.
Acceptance, respect, and validation. You know, if parents and adult children and adult siblings, you can achieve that. They can work through the grievances, through the fantasies, through the insecurities that they may have in the relationships with each other, and they can come out of it in a better way.
And I'm struck by the fact that the parents need to go through this transition as
of
much
course.
As the young people.
Of course.
Realizing that they're not infallible and they're not in charge.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you both so much for being here this hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Megan Gilligan is an assistant professor in human development and family studies at Iowa State University. Volker Thomas is a licensed marriage and family therapist at the Counseling Center of Iowa City and retired from being a professor at the University of Iowa. Talk of Iowa is produced by Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Lindsay Moon, Dennis Reese, and Emily Woodbury. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. You can get in touch with us anytime, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or at IPR Talk on Twitter. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.